Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a tiger, seen it for the meat of my career. All I ever wanted is for everyone to hear. Now I make them fear by the lyrics that they hear. Step up in the ring just to make my point clear. Sacrifice it all through the breeze on hold. Down to my last, but I'm not about to fold. Coaches won't train me, they say I'm too old. So now I'm a coach, I'ma do it on my own time, my own dime. I will fight for mine, I will fight for mine. I think out the line, spin the door in my face, y'all watch me shine. Some way, somehow, to the top I'll climb. I'm not about to wait, I'm about to do it now. On another level, yes, I'm about to shut it down. Yes, I'm about to clown, yes, I'm about to frown back. Then they didn't want me, but I bet they want me now. Too bad, so sad, you never saw my dream. I gave you your chance, you can't be on my team. And though it seems like I'm being harsh, I put the blame on you, cause it's all your fault. Green dash in the dirty, you did the crime. You know what they say, now you do the time. Sit back and reflect on what you could have done. Meanwhile, I'm enjoy being number one.
Ring the bell, go ring my bell, no time as well. Only time will tell, so watch me rhyme.
I put it in my training that I do every day. No time for drama, got too much on my plate. Paul W, champion is my fate. I was born to fight, ain't nothing calling me. Yeah, don't take a whole lot just to please me. Grew up a very little, but I never been needy. I can have it all, but I never be greedy. I don't need a flash, I don't need a bling. Don't need a million carats to bling in my ring. Need a coach and a cup, man, a dip in my ring. With a shirt competing on the almost canvas team. I'm the one who put in work, I'm the one who make a hurt. It ain't them, it's all me, risking life and getting hurt. I do like I do, it's all me and I do. Give me a clue or two and watch me do what I do.
Ring the bell, don't ring my bell. No time as well, only time will tell. Watch me rhyme, watch me shine. Put it all on the line, cause I'm running out of time. Ring the bell, don't ring my bell. No time as well, only time will tell. Yo, watch me rhyme, watch me shine. Put it all on the line, cause I'm running out of time.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of eWater Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of eWater Radio, KEWR, DB, or its affiliates.
Good evening, everybody. You just listened to Miss Tammy on the line. I'm Miss Tammy, and you are listening to eWater Radio, KEWRDB. Welcome to my very first episode of Miss Tammy's TKO Radio Show, where I'm going to feature the hottest topics in fitness, nutrition, and sports. I just want to let you guys know that we have been experiencing a little bit of technical difficulties tonight, you know, with the crazy heat and the fires and everything, but hey, I'm putting good energy out there, God is good, and we're going to have a great show. So let's get right into it. So today's nutrition topic is keto or no keto? That is the question. And happens to be actually one of the hottest nutrition trends out there. So now anybody that knows me personally, knows that as a nutritionist in this profession, you know, I don't really believe in diets. You know, I believe in healthy lifestyles and absolutely everything in moderation. But I gotta say, recently I've been looking at a lot of my friends and different people that have been on this keto thing, and I'm going, what is going on? They've been shredding weight like crazy, like 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds in a short amount of time. And I'm like, oh man, what is this? What is this keto thing? You know, and I meal prep, but I believe that, you know, meal prepping is great for if you've already had your obtained your optimal weight and you want to maintain that good weight. You know, meal prepping is good for that, what I was doing. So recently I kind of ventured in this whole keto thing. I'm like, I want to just see what this is about, you know. And, you know, I heard the hype about this keto, and I was closed-minded at first. But then again, you know, as I started looking into it, I'm like, you know what, this I'm going to try this thing out. So, you know, basically the whole gist around keto is, your body is running on fats. And so the way that I can kind of describe it is like my neighbor, my next door neighbor, he actually owns a Chevron gas station, and he broke it down to me how important it is to like fill your tank with Chevron gas with Tecron. And I'm like, what's the difference? I can go to Costco, I can go to Arco, I can go to all these other gas stations and fill my tank up, you know, for a lot less. You know, your gas is ridiculously expensive. So why am I going to you? And he broke it down to me how important the gasoline is for your car. If you have a nice car and you want to maintain that, you got to have good gas to put in your tank. And that's kind of the whole gist around keto. You know, when your body is burning off of fat fuel, it's actually more sustainable. You're less hungry. You know, your appetite is good. But when you eat carbs, it's like a Pringle. Once you pop, you can't stop. You know, you just want to keep eating. I know me. If I eat a few potato chips, I just want to keep eating them. Keep eating them. Same, you know, just with carbs, you want more and more and more. But with fat, you kind of tend to not want as much. So let's get into the science of it. So macronutrients. You know, macros are macros is kind of the slang word for macronutrients. There's three macronutrients that are found in almost everything we eat or drink. And these things are necessary for our body, you know, to function well and for our brain to be working. And these three things are protein, carbs, and fat. And so we'll talk about protein first. So protein, our bodies contain 10,000 different types of protein in every cell of our body. Protein is our tissue-building nutrients. It helps move the oxygen through our body and helps to repair cells and make new ones. So protein's made of like 20-plus amino acids. And 9 of these we actually get from our nutrition, what we eat, because our body actually doesn't produce them. But the other ones our body does produce. And some proteins that we eat could be like eggs, meat, fish, dairy, poultry. Those contain all 20-plus amino acids that require to make a new protein in the body called a complete protein. So now we'll dive into carbs, carbohydrates. They're an essential part of our diet. So really no carbs is not the option here. You absolutely do need carbs, but you need good carbs because carbs are very necessary for your brain and your muscle to function. So there's two types of carbs. We have the simple carbs and we have the complex carbs. So today I'm going to talk about actually three different types of carbs. We got sugar, starches, and fiber. Now sugar is like what you find fructose, glucose, lactose, you know, desserts, candy, cake, cookies, sodas, juices. You know, imagine this. This is crazy. The average American eats 350 calories of added sugar each day, which is equal to 22 teaspoons of sugar. That's 22 teaspoons of sugar. That's insane. And, you know, sugar is linked to diabetes, heart disease, and a lot of other, you know, bad things that we don't want in our body. Okay, so, again, these simple carbs, they make us feel calm, like more hungrier, hungrier and hungrier, and we crave them and want more of them. And this is what's kind of leading to obesity. So starches, let's talk about starches. Starches are longer, you know, it takes them longer to digest, and they're bonded with sugar units such as, you know, vegetables, whole grains, rice, breads, and cereals. And then we got fiber. Fiber is very important. We need about 25 to 30 grams on average per day of fiber. This carb actually doesn't convert to sugar. It actually acts as like a broom, and it kind of helps like sweep our digestive tract. And it also helps with healthy bacteria that our bodies need, you know, for our guts to fight off diseases. So the more fiber types of carbs that we eat, the more that we're going to be satisfied. Now, here's the issues that's associated with too many carbs. You know, most Americans actually consume 300 to 500 grams of carbs per day. Wow, on average. And we're not designed to actually consume that. You know, our bodies are going, whoa, wait a minute, whoa. But they're saying, I want more, but I don't want it. I want more, but I don't want it. It's confusing to our bodies. So if you eat too many carbs, it's going to elevate your blood sugar levels, causing your pancreas to actually work harder. And this can actually lead to heart disease or diabetes. Now let's talk about fat. We always see this low fat this, low fat, no fat this, low fat this. And I always kind of looked at that and was like, okay, no fat, low fat, I'm getting that. But no, we want fat in our diet. And especially if you're dealing with the keto plan, you absolutely want fats. That's the whole gist of this whole thing. So fats are found in every membrane of every single cell in our body, okay? It keeps our nervous system, able to function and communicate and protect our key organs and provides us with energy. Keeping fats in our diet, it actually helps provide flavor to the food, and it satisfies our hunger. It absorbs our vitamins like A, D, E, and K, so we need these. And some of the healthiest fats that I want to touch on are nuts, seeds, avocados over animal fats whenever possible. And I was really surprised when I really researched this to see that actually the different types of nuts that were actually the healthiest. And pecans, believe it or not, are the healthiest, which I always thought almonds. But actually pecans are really good for you. So let's break down the actual, you know, definition of keto. What is keto? Keto is a short term for ketogenic, which is a diet that is high fat, adequate protein, and low carbohydrates. This diet forces the body into a metabolic state called ketosis, in which it primarily burns fat. So the fact is that the dietary fat does not spike insulin the same way that carbs do. That is why eating fat doesn't make us fat. Our bodies won't store as much fat and will start using fat to burn energy. So the key is less stored fat plus more burned fat equals weight loss. That's the whole gist around keto. So we know that, you know, with studying keto, curbing your intake of certain carbs like pasta, starchy foods, bread, all these things, it will help reduce the risk of chronic disease such as heart disease, harmful belly fat, diabetes, high blood pressure, you know, your triglycerides and insulin resistance. So 90% of individuals who have actually done low-carb diets were able to eliminate or reduce diabetes medication within 6 months because it reduces that glycemic load on your body, which may stabilize those blood sugars. So the thing about keto that I think is most enticing is that it actually is satisfying. You don't feel hungry. In most diets, you're like, I'm starving. I want this. I see a donut and I want it. But really, when you're doing keto, you don't really crave those types of things. So, there's a lot of research on this keto, and there's a lot of controversy. The biggest thing, I guess, that is not really known is it sustainable? How long should somebody do this? There's not really any research that proves one way or the other that doing this for a long-term basis is the best thing to do. I say, you know, do whatever diet works for you, lose that weight, and then get on a maintenance plan. That's the whole thing. Most people get on these diets and then they stop and then they gain all the weight back plus some. But really the key to a healthy lifestyle is really just being mindful about the things you eat, input and output, exercise, you know, eat good and exercise. But if you're trying to cut weight, you got to be very strict about your regimen. And then, you know, after whatever diet you want to go on or however you want to live, you know, with that meal plan afterwards, which is the critical part. You want to make sure that your maintenance plan is effective, okay? So there's a lot more. I could go on and on and on and on about keto, tell you. But we have a special guest that I want to bring on who is a very good friend of mine, Mr. Sean Inches Jackson, whom of which I met many years ago while I was hosting a one-on-one hoop shots knockout tournament in Hollywood that Vic Battle puts on. Let's see if he's on the line here. Let's check it out. Let's see.
Hello.
Hey, Sean,
hello,
are you there?
Hey.
Are you there, Sean?
I'm here. How you guys doing? How you doing?
We're doing good. How are you?
Blessed, you know. I'm very blessed, you know. It's great to be alive, you know. I'm back in California. I've been in China for a while. Doing a lot of things, but I'm black. I'm great. How you doing, lady?
I'm doing great. Just we're excited about having you on the show. You know, after knowing you for a long time, but also just reading your bio and all the things. I mean, just you've been traveling the world. You know, doing what you love and living the dream, and that's such a blessing. So, you know, why don't you tell everybody, you know, where you grew up?
Well, thanks for having me on the show, first of all.
Absolutely.
I was born and raised from Los Angeles, California. You know, my mom raised me, you know, it's me and my sister. My mom, she's like one out of the nine siblings from my grandma and grandfather. So, you know, I have family everywhere in Los Angeles, Compton, Long Beach, you know, I mean, like everywhere, but I mostly spend half my time in Compton. So, you know, that's where, you know, kind of I was raised around in Compton area, about Wilson Park.
Nice. So what got you into playing basketball?
Wow, that's a good question. basketball really wasn't my first sport to, you know, baseball was my first sport. I, you know, my mom.
Really?
My mom, she, you know, took me to a Dodgers game when I was little. This was when it was Hector Valenzuela, I mean, you know, Fernando Valenzuela, Davy Lopes, you know, Ron Say, you know, Dusty Baker, you know, I used to watch them when she took me to the Dodger Stadium out there, and I was little, and I was stoked. I was just like, you know, just excited about baseball. So I ended up playing baseball. But as I got older and older, you know, get to that age, you know, it started getting physical as far as with baseball because I used to do T-ball underhand. And now when fastball came, now it's a different story. Because fastball back then, you didn't know if you were going to get hit in the head with a baseball or you know, it was just coming too fast. So I used to get hit in the head a couple of times. My mom didn't like it, so she took me out of baseball. So she's like, okay, we'll try another sport because this is too physical. So I ended up doing football. Now, that was another mistake right there. So my mom was like, hey,
football,
no,
that's okay. Even more physical than baseball. Come on.
Yeah, you know, but, you know, I was so fast and quick, you know, it was just part, you know, that's what it was. But, you know, when I got hurt playing football, she was like, you know what, no, that's it, no. Okay, all right. So now... Here I came with, you know, basketball. But the funny thing about it, how I became playing basketball was I went to Audubon Junior High School, and I was only, say, 13 years old, 14 at the time. Two guys, you know, one guy, he was tall. He was like, let's see, back then I was 5'5". So 6'3 was like the tallest to me, you know. There was this guy, his name was Edgar. He was over there just, you know, showing off, trying to show everybody he can dunk and this, that, and the other. So, you know, doing his thing. So I'm looking. I'm like, maybe I can try it. I'm at 5'5". I don't know nothing about basketball, but let me see if I can do something. So end up I get the ball, so let me try, you know, and they start laughing because I'm short. Okay, little man, go ahead, try some. You know, they all laughing, you know. So I, like, looked at the rim, like, okay, let me try it. So I took a couple steps and started running, and I jumped and then dunked the ball. So they looked at me like, what in the? Okay, you know what? I like him. So next you know, I just started playing basketball, and that's how I got into basketball. After that, then high school, Westchester High School, I became the form, you know, I just came forming my game a little bit more under Rod Azam, Ed Azam at a Westchester High School coach. He taught me a lot, and I started developing my game. Off season, you know, I go to parks, Rogers Park, Rancho Cienega, you know, Mount Carmel, Wilson Park, you know, name it. I've been to all the parks, learning my game. A lot of friends, Harold Miner, Paul Pierce, Baron Davis. Man, the list goes on and on. You know, Lorenzo Orr. I mean, a lot of names that played in the NBA now. I was inspired by. Played a lot with. And they showed me a lot of, you know, what to do, what not to do, how to form my game, how to make my game better. And to the point, I just loved it. I loved the sport, and then it just took to a whole new different level.
Wow, that's amazing. That is amazing. It's crazy that you go through all these sports and then you pick the right one. But it's really good that your mom actually did that because she gave you the opportunity to explore different things and kind of figure out what was the right thing for you. And you kind of figured it out. So, I mean, I think the viewers kind of want to know, for those viewers that don't know what slam ball is, if they haven't heard about slam ball, I mean, slam ball is pretty amazing and intense. Can you actually explain this? Can you explain the philosophy behind slam ball and what it's all about?
Okay, now, slam ball. Now.
Well, actually, before that, you know, too, I want you to tell everybody, too, like, how you even got into slam ball, from basketball to slam ball, and what that's about.
Yeah, okay. Now, here's how it all came to me. Now, slam ball, to me, okay, slam ball is an action-packed, it's just so drilling. It's you got football, basketball, hockey put into one. Excitement hitting, nonstop dunking. You know, with trampolines in the mix of the sport. Well, you jump in 15, 17 feet high in the air, and it's just it's like the game NBA Jams, but it's real live. It's live. It's nonstop action. It's like excitement everywhere. It just, you know, it's you have to see it to understand, because it's so much in this sport that people want to be interested in. I came so much interested in because it was something new and something different. At the time, I was running around with And One with the you know, the mixtape tour with the guys do tricks and stuff. I was doing some things with them, and then a lot of things came about to where it's going to be better fit for my life or better fit for my career. We already had elite players for And1, and at the time they were deciding of who was going to be their elite 12 people that's going to travel to play to be And1 players. At the time I was being one drafted to be one of the players, but then again I got a phone call because I was in New York at the time, and I got a phone call from my cousin. Because he lives in L.A., California, and told me, hey, there's this guy over here. He got this crazy sport on a napkin with a trampoline and a basketball court. Said it's going to be a phenomenal sport that you need to get at. So I was like, are you kidding me, cousin? All right, I'll do it for you. So I had to take a red eye from New York to come to L.A. to meet this guy. The guy's name is Mason Gordon. Mason Gore, if it went to him, you know, he is the creator of slam ball. He was the one that came up with this idea, this invention, this wonderful invention to where it became phenomenal. I was chosen as one of the elite players because he had six characters to be the ambassadors of this phenomenal sport. It was V-Nice.
Wow.
V-Nice is a heavy metal guy. spikes and you know, mohawk and Then there was Lockjaw. Then there was a guy named Lockjaw. Lockjaw was, you know what I'm saying, from the hood, tall, 6'6", 6'7", always have his pit bulls or his bulldogs at the game at his side while he's playing. So he was one of those kind of guys. Champ. Champ was a guy that always win championships. He's the yeah, I can never lose. I'm always this. I'm always that. Then there was Bobby Tampa. Bobby Tampa was the youngest in the league, 18 years old, white Jewish guy. Then there was CEO, which is the CEO, which is Mason Gordon. And then there was a name, Inches. Inches was like the Allen Iverson of the league, the guy that all the kids want to be like him, that, you know, he changed the evolutionary of basketball. That's who Inches was. Born and raised from Los Angeles.
Wow.
Rucker Park, New Yorker, you know, commercial, you know, all the things. That's who Inches was. And when he showed me the picture of Inches, it was a resemblance of me. So he looked at it and looked at me and said, you know what? I got a deal for you. You be this guy, you have a long life contract in this league until you retire. You'll be the man.
Wow.
You'll be everything. I was
told.
That was it. And I ended up becoming what's been going on for, say, I've been playing for 17 years in the league, 2 championships, 3 MVPs. All-American 4, 5 years straight in the season. First came, got triple-double. It's been an honor for playing that sport.
Wow.
But now, for now to the point now, I'm going from playing to now being the ambassador of my own league, of the sport that we're coming back with. So that's in the works right now.
Wow, that sounds so exciting. That's amazing. I mean, so how many, how many actual teams were there in the Slam Ball League? Like, who did you compete against?
At the time, it was 12 teams. There were 12 teams in the league. I played against semi-professional football players. I played against overseas basketball players. It wasn't, like, serious, big name people, you know, playing in, but they had a little cloud of their college basketball, football years, overseas footballs, you know what I'm saying, out of the country. I grew a lot of friendship, a lot of relationships with them. Good guys, great guys from Florida, Memphis, Texas, all over. Phenomenal guys. Can't take nothing away from none of them. You know, they helped make the sport to what it is now.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I mean, that's exciting.
Yeah. It's very exciting.
And, so,
now we performed in China now. We have 36 teams in China, 2 arenas.
Oh, my goodness.
Seven facilities. Within Shanghai, Hangzhou, Beijing, wonderful place, wonderful people. The culture was outstanding. The heritage, and when I was little and my teens used to watch Channel 5 Kung Fu flicks and watching Bruce Lee, the Seven Stairs of Chambers, the Great Wall of China, just the history of China out there, I experienced, and it was amazing. You know, I really recommend people to go take a trip to China. It's awesome.
That's amazing. And I heard you even had like a bobblehead made of you in China. Is that true? And
yeah.
I mean, they really blew you up in China, huh? I mean, like in a good way. Like your name was gold out there.
Yeah, they was real creative with that. They was very, real creative because when it came to me, I was like, okay, well, that looks just like me. Hold on. That is me. Who authorized this? I loved it. You know, I didn't take nothing, you know, for granted for it. You know, they treated me real well. I always have a home out there in China. It's amazing from where I came from and how the things in life I went through. I wouldn't imagine being in a situation like this. I thank God. I thank close friends. I thank a lot of people that support and been by my side so much.
That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing to be able to travel the world and do what you love and follow your dreams. That is the dream right there. And so I also heard about you have a move called the McNasty. What can you tell me and the viewers, like, what that's all about? What's the McNasty about? What is that?
Okay, the McNasty. Everybody out there, McNasty is not a name of a hamburger at McDonald's. I'm just let me get that out there right now. It is not a hamburger at McDonald's. Okay.
And if it was, it would not be keto. I'm gonna say that right there. It's not gonna. It would not be keto.
Well, you know what I'm saying. At least I have my face on the cover of the hamburger. You know. Now the McNasty. The McNasty was a dunk named after this dunk I did. Mason Gordon. I wanted to come up with something new, something different, a different kind of dunk. So I came up with this dunk. When you jump in the air, you do a 360. While you're doing a 360, you put the ball between your legs, and then dunk it with a lean. While I'm in midair now, okay.
Whoa.
So when I showed him what I did, when I did, you know, say, hey, Mason, you need to come check out this dunk I created. So he wanted to, he saw, you know, when I was going to do, when I did it, he was like, whoa, oh, that is nasty. Oh, that is McNasty. There you go. That ends that right there. That's how McNasty became. Because he wasn't, the way he said it was like, oh, that is sick. That is nasty. That's a nasty dunk. McNasty dunk. We're going to call it McNasty. There it is. And that's how McNasty came.
Wow. That's a cool story.
Yeah.
That's a super cool story.
Yeah.
Wow. That's cool. So, you know, to be able to train for slam ball, I know it's got to be crazy because, you know, you're on trampolines. I mean, you're
mm-hmm.
using basketball skills. You're using jumping skills. You have to turn. You have to pass. I mean, it's such a – and I think the court is a little shorter too, and so a lot shorter. So how do you train for something like that? Like what is the training regimen? Like, you know, when you're in season, like what kinds of things do you do that would maybe be different than, you know, just a basketball camp or basketball training? What kind of training regimen do you have?
Okay, in the mix of a slam ball, it's not all just basketball training. The way how we train, or maybe how I train, is more physical, more like football training. You know, we don't do a lot of, you know, basketball because it's more of a physical, it's more a physical sport as far as with dunking, hitting. You know, it comes in different ranges because the way I train, because it's not just basketball, it's not just football, it's not just soccer, you know, because we got gymnastics in it because we have trampolines. We have four trampolines on both sides of the courts around the rim. My training basically has to do with far as cardio, weightlifting, and more cardio. That's all. And eat right. And
wow.
Eat healthy. But it's more cardio.
Yeah, because
you're doing a lot of running.
Okay.
Go ahead. We're doing a lot of running. We're doing a lot of using gymnastics. So it's basically more our body, more or less, instead of shooting. Or, you know what I'm saying, more playing basketball. Because when you're playing defense, we're not playing basketball defense. Like we, you know, slide, defensive slide. No. This is like more like hockey, football. More or less hockey. Because more hockey, I'm checking you against a plexiglass. Because the court is covered, is around a plexiglass. The whole court is surrounded by plexiglass. Just like hockey. Hockey's surrounded by all plexiglass. You dribble.
So that's where the slam comes in. That's a slam. Right? He's slamming into it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's where the slam in comes from. Because when you dribble, yeah, just like hockey, you know, you will get checked. And this, you dribble.
Yeah.
Once you dribble, you're liable to get checked. You will get checked. You will get checked if someone really want to check you. You know what I mean? That's how we play defense. It's more physical than more just of a finesse of defense. It's more like football and hockey. So that's basically our training is like football and hockey. It's more like we do more cardio. We do more squats. We do more weightlifting because of the strength, because of the endurance, because of the cardio that we had to keep going back and forth. Because it really does get really tiring. And plus you got pads on. And you got a helmet on. So it's a whole lot. It's a whole lot. But my training is basically cardio, leg weight lifting. I stay with cardio all the time because more cardio, the more you stay in shape. The more you stay in shape, the more you have more air to stay in the game.
Absolutely. I can see that. I can see that. Mm-hmm. Now, so what about the off season? You know, because, you know, a lot of people get lazy on the off season and they got to go back and it's like getting back in shape again. I mean, what was your training regimen like, you know, during the off season? Did you still train? Did you train as intense or just a little less intense? Like, what did you do during the off season to kind of, you know, kind of stay in shape?
Off season, always stay training. You know, I have a couple of people that I train with even off season, because when I'm off season, you know, I'm like, you know, if I'm so, you know, I hardly sometimes can't go places, you know, people recognize me, you know, get talked to, interviews, you know what I'm saying, tell me about this, tell me that, you know, which is great. But my off season, I stay dedicated. I stay always working out because my focus
nice.
And my goal is to get championships, to be the best player of all time. You know, I work hard because I believe in someone's dream, and someone gave me a dream to represent his project and his dream, his focus, what he was trying to bring out to make the world understand what we're trying to do. Well, I'm gonna give my 300% off court, working hard, getting to be better, to be more healthier, to give a good performance, to be one of the best players in this league.
Wow. You know, I know that's great. That is great work, you know, work ethics, you know, and just, you know, people see that. And I think that's why the best is the best. You know, you got people mm-hmm. like just outside of basketball, like Floyd Mayweather. I mean, he's out there at midnight running. You got mm-hmm. people like Jerry Rice, who used to go to the rookie training, you know, camp and train with all the rookies. He didn't have to do that. He was Jerry Rice. Jerry Rice is the best football mm-hmm. player ever. In my opinion, I'm a 49er fan, but I'm forever Jerry Rice fan. But, I mean, he always went and trained with the rookies. And, I mean, I just believe that your out-of-season game and your off-road game, even when, you know, I was boxing, it was like, you know, I did what the coach said, and then, you know, outside the ring, outside of boxing, you have to do your road work. You got to run. There's a lot of different things mm-hmm. that you got to do on your own to be the best and to be at the top. So, you know, too, I know that you've done a lot of celebrity basketball games. I've been to actually a couple and have seen you play at some celebrity basketball games out here in L.A. And, you know, I gotta ask you something. I want you to dish about something. I want you to tell me, like, who really has game out there on the court? Like, who really can play basketball for real? You know, you got a lot of people, I can play basketball. They put a headband on and some basketball shorts, and they're like, oh, I got this. I can play basketball all day. But who really knows basketball and who really can play? Like, tell me which celebrities really can play for real, for real. I know you know.
Oh, tell me.
I mean,
put it out there. I'm not. Don't get me in trouble here now. Don't get me in trouble. Okay, well, you
no,
know.
No, I'm not asking you who the worst was. I'm asking you who the best was, because we're not going to put anybody on blast. We're going to keep everything positive. So let's just talk about the best. Who are the great, great basketball players? Like, who first comes to mind?
Who first comes to my mind? Man.
Yeah.
Luke. The
really?
Game. Chris Brown.
Okay.
Let's see. You know, Flex Anderson. Bill Bellamy. Man. Nate, I mean, geez, there's a whole bunch of that. You know, rest in peace, Nate Dogg. You know,
yes.
Man, we got, I mean, we let me see. Shoot, man, is that, man, I play with a lot of celebrities. I play with a lot of people. Chico Bierman. There's a lot of people.
Snoop. Yeah. Like, so Snoop really has game, huh? I mean, he coaches football too.
Yeah.
He seems like an athletic person.
Well, yeah, he is. He's one of the phenomenal guys that I met and hung out and chill and you know, great to know and be around a person like that. Like I said, you know, like we got like people like, you know, we got Warren G. I mean, you know, we got Quick. We got, you know, we got KK. I mean, we got, you know, man, Cowboy, Missy, we got, you know, I could say Sick With It, you know what I mean? I mean, Sick With It, I mean, he's a street baller, so I can't count him because he's not like an actor, like, you know what I'm saying? Or in a, you know what I mean? So I can't put him.
Yeah,
back.
He's an athlete. Like, he's a basketball
because,
player.
Yeah, he's an athlete. Yeah. Okay. But as far as in the entertainment industry, you know, I've played with a lot of people. I played with Frankie Muniz. I played with Chris. I played with Anthony Anderson. I played with Coolio. I played with Joe Torre. That's another good player.
Really?
Let me see. Yes. Anthony Payne. Wood Harris. You know, Steve Harris. Ollie Woods. Temptations. I names starting to come. You know what I mean? But you know, there is.
You play with a lot of greats.
That,
I mean, a lot of cool people. I mean, it's kind of cool to see. You know, because we look at celebrities sometimes as like that's what they do, acting or singing
mm-hmm.
or rapping, and that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're all people and we all do different things. You know, people have different skills that kind of they pull out of the trick bag. You know, and speaking of celebrities, I know that you did some things with Magic Johnson Foundation, which Magic Johnson, you know, he is.
Oh, yeah.
Probably one of the best basketball players of all time. Like he's amazing
mm-hmm.
and just a businessman at that, just a phenomenal
mm-hmm.
person. So what was your affiliation with the Magic Johnson Foundation?
Now, with the Magic Johnson Foundation, the Midnight Summer League and, you know, stuff like that, you know, Magic Johnson do stuff like, you know, we're giving back to the community, just doing things for kids because it's all about the kids, you know, and their future because they change, they can make a change in our world to make it more better or, you know, to make them a better person themselves. You know, I go around, you know, do little events for kids, like, you know, me, you know, Kenny Smith, Shaq, Odin Polynice, John Sally, so, you know, a few some of the guys, Cedric Tabalas, these guys, you know, I did a lot of some of their programs, you know, and some of their programs had to deal with, you know, some NBA cares and stuff like that, you know, and to reach out to Magic Johnson, and at the time when I was in my career with the acting and everything and stuff, I was doing more red carpet events. I was doing a lot of TV work, a lot of commercials and stuff. So I was out there, you know, and I got a lot of recognition. And by that, getting a lot of recognition got me opportunity to get into the Magic Johnson Foundation Celebrity Basketball Game. And I was one of the celebrities that played in his annual celebrity basketball games. I've been to seven events, and I've been to every one every year for 7 years. And always did, you know.
Oh, that's amazing.
Always did good, you know, represent for the Magic Foundation. We're great. I know I sent you pictures and stuff like that with me and Usher. Oh, you know, that's another basketball player too, Usher, you know, and Chris Spencer, you know. So, you know, it's always an honor.
Usher got game out there? He's got game on the court, huh?
Yeah.
I like that whole philanthropy side of you, you know, Sean. I think that's important, you know, to give back to the community, to give back to the kids, because, you know, a lot of athletes don't realize that they're actually a role model, and a lot of celebrities don't realize that they're role models, whether they want to be or not. They're like, no, I just play the game, or I just do this show, or I just do this movie, or I just sing. But I'm not a role model. No, you are a role model. You've got a lot of kids, a lot of people out there that look up to you. And so, you know, whether people want to accept the fact they're a role model, they are a role model. So, you know, what's the best way that you like to give back to your community? Like, what makes you kind of feel whole besides, you know, the sport? Like, what's the philanthropy side of you? That's what I kind of want to dig in.
Well, because I was once a kid. You know, I was born in South Central Los Angeles. You know, it was hard living in neighborhoods where we lived in, you know, as far as with the gang banging, the shooting, the drive-by, stuff like that. You know, we always wanted to make our neighborhood and our community better, you know. I look at kids as I was a kid. I didn't have that much going for myself, as far as just keep myself occupied and doing this, that, and the other, because I was the only boy from my mom. It was only me and my sister, and I just had a lot of friends. But, you know, just from where I came from, and I told myself if I ever was going to be known, if I ever was going to make something myself, I was going to always give back to where I came from, because, you know, I feel good doing it, because I never, you know, this is my home. You know, there's always things that you want to do to make a change for where you came from, you know, to make it more better for the kids, make it more better for the community, make it more better for the society or what's going on right now. You know, it's a lot of things that we go through that we see our teenagers and kids. We're not really attended to them because we're caught up with financials. We caught up with finances of us catching up and not worrying, not even focus on our kids. You know, we're too busy working overtime instead of being in our kids' life to where we don't know what our kids are up to and what they're doing. Next thing you know, kids taking drugs or doing this, dead, or other things that we didn't think our kids or kids are doing, but that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, so they're not getting the guidance from parents, because, you know, as parents, of what we are supposed to represent, we're not doing a good job. And I can, you know, we're giving leeway to our kids because we don't want us to act like our parents. Our parents were strict. Our parents was on us and this and that and the other, blah, blah, blah. And now we're as a parents, we're too lingering on our kids now. We're not being structured. We're not being real disciplined and really letting them know, like, there's consequences of what you're doing. All we're doing is giving them a slap hand on the wrist and don't worry about it. It's okay. No, it is. It's not going to be okay because it's going to linger on their life. Because you don't think that it's okay to do this and it's okay to do that, but really it's not. Because us as parents, we're not putting our foot down. Instead of we being more soft.
Yeah.
I want to get back to my community because I feel that we can make a change. You know, sports is the way to go because sports is keeping kids out of trouble and also giving them an opportunity of they have talent. And you don't know that you don't have talent, but you do have talent.
So. Absolutely. Yeah, so do you feel that that kind of helped drive you away from trouble? Because, you know, of course, in any school there's going to be trouble. But, you know, given some of the communities that you described that you grew up in, I've boxed in those communities. I've been in those communities. And, you know, and it's, you know, you can find trouble in any community. But do you feel that, that basketball, well, you know, baseball, football, the sports that you played, do you feel that it had an impact on your life to kind of keep you out of trouble and keep you from, you know, do people kind of not mess with you because of they knew you were athlete? You know, do you feel that that helps you in any way to really be more successful in life?
Yes, it helped me a whole lot. It helped me a whole lot. It kept me away from other people. It kept me away from being around temptation. And I'm not talking about as far as temptations with females. I'm talking about temptations on the streets. You know, that's why when you say, you know, what do you do all season, this, that, and the other, I feel, you know, that us as athletes, we need to stay more dedicated to what our careers is because we do get caught up. We do get caught up, you know, and sometimes it's hard to get, it's easy to get caught up because you don't know what goes on because you're having a good time. Not knowing what situation that you might get yourself into. So, you know, yes, it helped me a lot. It helped me a lot of not getting in trouble because, you know, you're around gangbangers. You know, you're playing at parks. So, you know, a lot of gangbangers be at parks, hanging out in parks, you know what I'm saying, sitting on benches, you know what I'm saying, drinking, you know what I'm saying, smoking, talking, you know, doing all this, that, and the other, you know. But, you know, it really did. It really did keep me out of trouble. You know, when they say, you know, oh, this guy, you know, they're not going to mess with me. What they do – they're my guidance. You know what I mean? They see the talent that I have, and they see what I do in this down the basketball court. So when I'm finished, they're like, hey, you know, little youngster, you know, said I see you know, blah 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 blah. You know, keep up the good work. You know. And it's weird because it's funny how the people on the streets, you know, they give you more guidance, and that's what attracts us as athletes. People like that because they give us the guidance because they see talent and they giving us you know what I'm saying, they giving us positive feelings, and you know, and I'm like, I'm scared of this dude, this is a serious gangbanger, like, and he giving me good advice and he's like giving me good guidance. I'm gonna run with that. I'm gonna go to the park every single day because I don't get that nowhere else.
That's great. I mean, I think that's really important. It's really important to keep a good head on your shoulders out there. And it's good that you have people out there that, you know, are looking out for you to help guide you. And even if they may have not made the right choices themselves, they want to see you win. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about in this whole world is just seeing each other win. You know, and being positive and lifting each other up. There's a lot of negativity out there in this world. We want to lift each other up. We want to be good people, good to our friends, good to our community. And, you know, and that's how you do good. That's how you really win, is by helping others win. You know, when you help others win, and you always have been good about that, you know, inviting people to, you know, being part of your game or, you know, inviting people to your game, giving away free things. And I think, you know, your reputation, you know, is so great out there because of the great things that you do to give back to your community. You know, and I wanted to ask you, because we're getting ready to wrap up here in a minute. I wanted to ask you, because I see number 3 on your jersey. Is that the number that you always use when you play ball?
Yeah.
And is there any significance to that?
Yes. Hold on for a minute.
How did you get number 3?
Okay. All right. It gets kind of emotional because of three. Excuse me. The number three is, it means my mother, myself, and my sister, because that's all I had.
I never asked you that question. I really never knew that.
Yeah, a lot of people ask, you know, why number three? Because, you know, Allen Iverson, it's because that's all I had with me, my mom, and my sister. I never told no one that until now.
Oh my gosh!
But that's the number three jersey means. And then when she passed away, when she passed away in 97, that solidified that number three is gonna stay on my jersey for the rest of my life.
Wow.
So when I give a fan my jersey or any jersey that I have that's number three, it means a lot, you know.
Wow. You know, I really, really appreciate you sharing that with me and all the viewers, because I know that that's really personal to you and very emotional. And it just, you know, it's neat that you have meaning behind that and there's purpose behind that three, and you wear that proudly. And I'm sure that your mom's looking down at that and just, you know, and smiling, knowing that, you know, you're representing her and your sister. And you, I mean, that's really an amazing story and very touching. And I really appreciate you sharing that, you know, with me and all the viewers. You know, we're getting ready to wrap up the show here. And I just wanted to see if there's any, you know, last words that you wanted to give out there to everybody, to all your viewers out there, any advice that you want to give out there to your viewers.
Stay humble. Don't rush nothing. And let life takes its course. That's all. You know,
nice.
I love everybody. You know, and I wish everybody the best in the world. And I hope to see you everybody soon. And yeah, not to see the last of me.
And real quick. Put it out in the universe, what you're about to do with your slam ball career. What put it out in the universe right now. We're going to put that out there right now so that way it happens.
Okay, guys, look. Check this out. I'm about to form my own league. But you got a training. It's called Springtime with Inches. Training with me to become one of the greatest heroes or greatest athletes about to appear in this sport that's coming up. So I'm welcome to anybody that want to come join, be a part of it, you know, and never know. You might be one of the greatest athletes to play the sport that's about to happen.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you being on the show, Sean. It means a whole lot to me to be on this first show, and I really appreciate everything that you shared with me and all the viewers, and look forward to catching you at one of the games. And best of luck to all your future endeavors.
Hey, thank you
later,
so much,
okay, Sean?
Tammy. Thank you so much, Miss Tammy. Tell Ed I said hello.
I sure will.
All right.
Bye now.
Okay.
All right, everybody. I hope you enjoyed our show. I just wanted to close with a healthy quote. Your body is your temple. You do your body good, it does you good. This is a quote from one of my favorite boxers of all time, Money Mayweather. Yeah. And my spinoff of Money May is your health is your wealth. Everybody take care of your body, take care of yourself. Goodbye, good night, good luck, all that good stuff. And I'll see y'all in 2 weeks.